once we win, you got to come in thinking, we're going to win.
Inside the huddle.
You better get excited. God has been stirring my heart for this word since last August. I went back into my notes and it's like when he started this word and he's been stirring it, and then it'll sit there for, and just I'll be mulling over it. But I want to pray as we begin. Thank you. You know, there's got to be a little bit of, like, what is this? God is full of awe and wonder, isn't he? Isn't it good? So put your hand on your heart. Just prepare yourself for the word. Holy Spirit, we need you in this space. We just ask that you would do all that you want to do. We give you room. God, that you would draw us into a new level with you, that you would take us deeper with you. Stir our faith, stir our mind, activate us. We just thank you, God, for the seed of your word that's powerful and living. And so I just speak the fruit of God over you, that you would be fruitful in the name of Jesus. Amen. Any perfect parents in the house? Maybe we'll own it if you believe it. I don't know. How many of you had a perfect parent? A couple of people had. Well, that's nice. My children are not in the room. They can't raise their hand. Okay, there's one. How many of you have ever, you had your first child and then you got to your second child and thought you had it down, but by the third child came and you're like, whoa, this is a curveball. Anybody? How many of you think parenting boys versus girls was different? It's a totally different ball game. I'm living in that ball game right there. In Proverbs 22:6, it says to train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I'm asking you and questioning you as a parent, a grandparent, maybe a great grandparent, maybe one that is a mentor or an aunt or an uncle, all the different things that could be underneath that. How much are you investing in that idea of training up a child? And I was thinking about what does that actually look like as a parent building character in your children? How about giving them opportunities to grow stronger physically? Jesus grew in stature and wisdom with God and man, giving them opportunities to grow in wisdom with God and man. How about training them in the integrity and honor of God? How about training them with intentionality in loving people and loving God? Putting that in front of them, giving them opportunities. How about spending time cultivating space to be doers of the word, not just hearers, that you would raise your children up in that. Or living by the Spirit, that's one of the things that I feel like the Lord has stirred so strongly in me as a parent in this last year, that I would raise up children of character and that they would be living by the Spirit. And that doesn't just come by accident. That doesn't just happen because I bring them to church. And so I'm wanting to encourage you this morning because I feel like the Lord wants to start revival in family. We want revival to happen. We want to see the culture of the earth change. We want to see things happen that are different on the earth. But it really starts in our homes. And I do think that if you look out abroad into homes, how much havoc has been wreaked in homes by ripping away and doing this for time and that, and all the different things that have become a distraction in households. I know for me, like, I've watched it personally, just my phone can be a very easily a distraction in my life, in my parenting. I, like, by the time, like, I look at it and I'm like walking with Jubilee yesterday, and then I'm on my phone trying to take a picture and Instagram it and this and that. And I'm like, wait, but what am I really doing and why am I doing it? And the purpose and the intent has to be intentional. And I try as a parent to live very intentionally. And I want to stir your hearts. And some of the things that God showed me, he showed me this idea, this picture, and it's not alone just for parents, because I feel like it's easy to be like, well, I'm not a parent anymore. And I still go to my mom at my age. So, I mean, I don't know if you ever stop being a parent of older children. Anybody? Nope. They're all shaking their heads like, nope. It's still, but you still, as at that point, you can't just check out and say, well, they'll figure it out. You can still be intentional in parenting, even adults, as grandparents. And how I understand that the Lord takes very weight in that is in Timothy, in 2 Timothy, Paul comes into the picture. And Paul was a man of God. And I don't know if Paul actually had any children. But to Timothy, he says, "Oh, Timothy, my beloved child." And there was no actual father-son relationship there, but he continues to build that relationship. So, men of God, there's place for you, even if you're not a father yet, to be a father. There are fatherless children even in the midst of us. There's opportunities as mothers to be mothers of children that are in the house. It doesn't mean that it has to be blood. When we become a part of the family of God, then we're called as a family to all incorporate. And so even Paul made mention in 2 Timothy 1:5, and he says, "I'm reminded," he's speaking of Timothy, "of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and then in your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well." That's generational faith. And that's what we're called to cultivate, is generational faith. If you're a first-generation believer, then cultivate it in your children and your children's children, and then it can go on, that it might be said of you. And if it's not, and if you're part of the generations, if like me, I, as we read this last week, my children and I, we started counting back the generations on my mom's side and my dad's side. And I think Cadence is a fifth-generation believer. Isn't that powerful that you can actually start a generational faith and generational believing in your household? That there's something that God wants to do in the generations, that it's not just like, I'm going to go on vacation now for the remainder of my life and I don't need to participate in this. And no, I'm calling you and saying you have to participate in the body and in your household. Even Jesus in Matthew 28 says to go make disciples. This is you as a believer saying, I'm going to go make a disciple, baptizing them, teaching them, equipping them, making them understand who God is and what God is doing. There is no one left out of the picture. So in this picture that the Lord like stirred in my heart, it has to do with football. And I know we're not in football season, but and I know it's Mother's Day, so it seems very weird that he used football in this illustration for me. But a long time ago, when Romero and I first got married, we decided we'd become fans of a certain football team. It's not the Packers. Even though I grew up in the Packer land and area, I did not grow up in a household that had any culture of football. My dad was not a football watcher. It was more baseball. And he grew up, he raised us four daughters. So there was no even like male football player in the house, like nothing. So when I started, I was like watching football and I had to learn a lot about it. But I feel like there's some value in this concept that the Lord stirred in my heart, and the importance of living fully and very intentionally and with great purpose as a parent. But a lot of times we get into this parenting and we get tired. We get over it. It doesn't seem to be working. Sometimes, like for me, like I didn't think I would find myself in this space of being a single parent, doing life raising four children by myself. I didn't anticipate that. That was not in the vision of what I saw ahead. And yet, it's still where I am. And so choosing wherever you're at that we're going to level up. How about that? How many of you guys are ready to take the next step towards what God's wanting to do in your household? So there's lots of different participants in a football. And this is a soccer bag, but I don't have a football bag. So whatever. Sometimes we're the coach, and I am a Steelers fan. Woo! Sometimes we get into parenting and we start. Now, no one's going to listen to me. Oh, gosh. I still root for the Packers. I mean, occasionally. If they're not playing the Steelers, I'm okay. They're not in our same division, so if they win, it doesn't really matter to me. But, sorry. I should have just went and got all Green Bay things. I'm sorry. I just have all the Steeler things, and so then it's easier that way. But a coach is in the game is a person that tells you what to do. Have you ever seen a coach actually out on the field doing a lot of the things? A lot of times they're just like shouting and telling them what to do. They're not actually in the game. They're not playing in the game with them. They're on the sidelines. They don't want them actually on the field. They get in trouble if they get on the field. But that comes in sometimes the way we start parenting like a coach. We'll tell our kids to read our Bible, have them read the Bible. Read your Bible. It's a good thing to read your Bible. Or you should pray, but they don't ever hear you praying. Or you should love, but they don't even know what love really is. They only know the love that they see that's going on in their households. They're not actually experiencing love, but you're telling them to love. Love your neighbor, love your friends, and love God. But they have no basis or framework of what that actually is. Or you're saying, hey, you got to be kind. Be kind. And then you're driving on the road, and you're not kind at all. How many of y'all found yourself? I'd be like, maybe I need to tell myself to be kind. There's a lot of slow drivers. I'm just saying, like, sometimes it gets overwhelming. I don't know. But I'm telling you, sometimes as parents, that's where we find ourselves. I find myself, like, I'll start demanding out of them something that I'm not even putting a demand on myself for. So there's like that coach thought of being a parent. Maybe you're just the water boy in your parenting. You feed them and you meet their needs and that's enough. Sometimes we go into our day and that's all we've got to give them. Hey, they ate and they got fed. Glory be to God. But that's not the parenting that God is calling us to. Like, yes, he calls us as parents to make sure their needs are met, that they have clothes, that they have something to eat, and hopefully it's not just all junk because that's what they would choose, but like, or just pizza. But like really embracing that you're not just somebody that does that. And you can stand in your home and feel like that's all you do. That's like you come out of whatever is going on in your world and you don't have anything left to offer them. You're tired and whatever it is that's making you feel like that. And sometimes we can even label it, well, I'm better than that parent over there. And this is how we choose to live, like as like the water boy in the game. And that's not where God asks you to position or wants you to be positioned as the water boy. You don't know what this is, do you? It's a terrible towel. This would be in the fans. The fans at a football game, at a Steelers fan would be this. And sometimes that's where we find ourselves is, as a parent, we're invested, not invested. It's all emotional. I love my team. Now they're doing bad and I hate them. and I don't like them, and I'm going to turn it off, and they don't do what I want them to do, and they're doing it, and it's all emotion-based. And sometimes as parents, that's where we get into this real emotion-based parenting, and we'll be like, well, you shouldn't do that because that makes mommy sad. And I'm like, and I, as a parent, I went to this class once, and they said, when you do that, you give them the power to make you sad or mad. And I was like, wait, I don't want them to have the power to over my emotions. And so I stopped using that tool, because you will just take random tools and use them and apply them to our parenting that actually do not work effectively. It would be like you taking a hammer to an avocado and trying to get it to open. It might open, but it's not the effective way to open it, because you won't have what you need inside. And a lot of times in our parenting, we just try to pull from this place and this place and this place, and we just use our emotions to dictate what our children are doing, and we're not using what the Lord has given us as parents, and he's given us a lot of things, and so you can't be that emotional parent that you're only there to, like, because you're emotionally connected. This is where I find myself a lot of times parenting. Stop. Please stop fighting. I feel like I'm wearing a ref's uniform all the time. I actually have said that to my kids so many times. I'm like, guys, I'm not wearing black and white today. I am not a ref. Like, you can find yourself in that give of constantly having to stop war, stop fighting, stop this tension. And we come into this place where we're trying to keep peace, but we're using it. We're just trying to get actions to change. And God is about our hearts. We're trying to get the things to stop. So we're judging our children. A lot of times we use the motives after their obedience is all based on, well, if you do that, you're grounded. And you can flip it to say, well, if you do good, then I'll reward you. And it's all reward or judgment based. And it's not, that's not what God is after, your actions. He's after our hearts as people. And so we actually, as parents, have to be after the heart of our children. Not after just changing them from, like, doing this wrong thing to doing this better thing, but actually having a heart that changes and is obedient to the kingdom. And so as so many times I think that we're always finding ourselves as referees in our households, trying to make it right, trying to do the right thing, trying to get our kids to act right and be right. And please don't do that in Walmart. Like, just please behave. Like, anything to get you to not act nasty. You know, we just try to referee and we walk around trying to do that. And that's not the position that God has called us to as parents. And then we have parenting that's, I didn't have any resources for cheerleading. Pom-poms. This was a doll in the basement. Woo! I even looked at the store. There was no pom-poms, but this one works. Sometimes we bend over backwards for our children. We're cheering them on. We're wanting them to succeed in everything that has to do with life, but not godliness. We're all after them being the best of the best. We're cheering them on. We're hoping that they are famous and rich and make lots of money and do all of these things, and they're very well, and we'll put a lot of time, a lot of cheering them on. But we're not actually being that participant in making sure that they're living for Jesus. He didn't call you to be a cheerleader in your household. We are called to encourage, but not cheer our children on only. And I think a lot of people find themselves in this position in their household, on the bench. We're watching the game, we're wishing we're in it with them, but we're actually sitting here because our guilt and shame holds us back from actually parenting. Well, I did these things wrong. I know I did these things wrong, so I probably can't give them any grief about it because I did that too. Or my parents did all these things that I didn't like them doing, so I'm going to do it this way. And you just sit on this place, and you never really do anything. You're just on the bench. And he didn't call you to live in guilt and shame and stay on the bench. He's called you into actually a different position. And this is where I find that the Lord has called us. He's called us to get in the game, actually to be the QB, as parents. There's something about being in the midst of being in life with your children that's different than doing all those other positions on the sidelines. And there's something that I want to talk to you about. I told you I had all the gear. I did buy a football that was smaller, so my hand didn't get tired. But there's something that he's wanting you to do. See, in reality, parenting is a season of living, thriving, running towards a goal. It's actually being sweaty and messy in the midst of what's going on in life. It's getting into the dirty places. It's getting into the hard places, not being unwilling to actually participate with your children. You're not a watcher of your children. You're a participant in the house. God didn't tell you to set aside who you were in parenting. He's asking you to live who you are and move forward with your family. And so in the natural, that idea of training, I looked up what it meant to train as a QB. And they train 3 to 4 hours a day during the season. And they take one day off of rest if they win. And during that, they take 2 to 3 days a week and they do strength and conditioning training. And then they do speed training 2 to 4 days a week. And then they do skill set training for QBs 2 to 3 sessions a week. A QB is the person that leads the offense. He's the leader on the field. He calls the plays. He moves the team forward and he gives strategies. That's what I think about parenting. That when we're training our children, how much are you investing time into that? In a natural space to get good at something, they're investing days. Really living that real relationship of Christ and with the Holy Spirit in and with your children. It's not like they're over there and I have a relationship with God. It's a unified place. And when you get on the field, you put a helmet on, and there's like a peace inside that's speaking to you from the people offside the field. That's what at least I think it happens. There's also, I missed a piece. Oh, it's in here. I thought about this. They wear these things. I tell them the plays. How much should we have the Word of God so near us that we're so have a direct resource? We've been hearing about the Holy Spirit, right? We've been the last few messages have been about the Holy Spirit, and I find that like when I came into this space, parenting as a single parent. When Romero passed away, my children were 2, 4, 6, and 8. I was in the thick of a lot of movement, a lot of children, just trying to raise them in the things of God. Yet God, that he could stand with me and parent with me. There is this idea that about co-parenting with the Holy Spirit that I've been living. And when you're on the field and you're doing life and you're living with the Holy Spirit, you're hearing him. That means everything you're deciding, everything you're navigating with your family is based on what he's saying to you. That you've been trained in the Word, you've been hearing the Word, you know what the Word is saying. So when he speaks something to you, you can say that lines up with the Word of God. When you're seeking him, he's saying stuff to you. He's teaching you. He's telling you. He's guiding you. He's leading you. It says in John 16:13 that he guides us. It says the Holy Spirit helps us in Romans 8:26. And in 1 Corinthians 2:11, it says that he knows. And I want you to think about this. A few weeks ago, we got given this about the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you ever even looked at it. But I believe it's 50 things that the Holy Spirit does. It's like having that inner ear of everything you need for every decision that you make. We run to all the different places. We resource in books. We resource in ideas. We resource it out here. And do you know that the people that you live with, and you should know this because they're all very unique. And what you do for one child, you can't do for the next. How many of you found that happening? How you communicate with one person into the next person, it is different. How they are loved is different. So there can't be this perfect idea of parenting, but there is a perfect Holy Spirit that functions in us and through us and with us that gives us the ability to parent well. And all I can say is that the Lord showed me that he was the father to the fatherless. And that as I banked into that, as I decided to lean into that, I've just made a decision that when I come into moments with my children and I have absolutely no idea what to do. And I know all of us have run into those walls. When you look at them and you're like, I don't have any idea what to do with the situation. You have to pause. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to guide you into truth. You have to give him the ability to speak to you and counsel you and train your ear to hear what he's saying. Because when you think about football and they're out on the field, the one thing that the Holy Spirit does is he already knows how the play is going to go out. He already knows the beginning and the end of whatever's happening in your world, in your situation, in that predicament that you don't know how to handle. He knows the beginning and the end. He also knows the heart motives. And that's where I've come into like this space with the Holy Spirit, with my children. I'm like, God, I'm after their heart, not after their actions. I want to see what you want them for in their heart. I want to lead them by their heart, not just say, you need to change what you're doing. And me having them change what they're doing, when they walk out my house, then what are they going to do? They could go right back. Even when they were little, I remember the Lord showing me about put it on, put love on. Because someone taught me that when you direct your children, you should always direct them based on the word of God. That the scripture should always back up what you're saying. And that's very hard when they're very little. Because they're looking at you and they're like, I don't get any of it. But you can tell them to put love on, and then you can say, well, love is kind. And this is kind. And so I kept going back in like baby steps when they were young. But now that they're getting older, I'm directing them more and more and more to the attention of the word of God and their personal relationship with Christ. Like if you have a relationship with Christ, there's a standard you have to live. You can't just lie to me. Because the Bible says you shouldn't lie. And the Bible says to honor your mother. And the Bible says to obey your parents. And so when you start backing up what you're saying with the word of God, it gives weight and frame to it that actually takes them from your household into their lives. Because when they actually are living and breathing outside of your household and doing life, you want them to live with as and have an integrity and character and strength. They don't want it to be based on, well, mommy told me not to do it, so I shouldn't do it. And when mommy's gone, then I get to do whatever I want. That's not where we should be raising our children. We should raise them with the purpose that they love God and they have to live based on that love of God. And so when you're in that mode with them, you actually have to exemplify that. So a few weeks ago, I preached on humility. And I had an encounter with one of my children. And this child challenged me about me not listening. And it was like very hard. And everything inside of me, it's like pride just was like, wah. I did not want to apologize. I did not want to humble myself in front of her. I did not want to do any of that. And I had just preached about being humble. So I was like, okay, Lord, help me out. I'm just listening. And everything inside is a war. Everything inside of me is a war. And I'm just smiling at her and listening. And I'm like, my flesh and my spirit. And I had to choose to humble myself in front of her because I want to live out the example of Christ in front of my children. I actually did. Thank you, Jesus. By his grace, he helped me because it took a lot inside. And that's okay. Even if it takes a lot, we can still say we're in process. You're in process. Yes. Aren't you growing? That's why you can't stand on the field and be like, you should do that. Because we actually have to be on the field, being with them, allowing them to learn and grow and develop with us. But we're leading them. And you are called to lead. You are called to lead in your household, whatever that looks like, because you are a follower of Jesus. But being led by the Spirit is where you should lead from. Even the whole reffing thing I told you about, I was standing and two of my children were fighting. And they've been kind of frustrated with each other a lot. None of us have perfect children, right? I do not have perfect children. They are in process and they're growing in the Lord, but they love God. But they were fighting with each other. And I literally threw my hands up and was like, I'm done. You guys can just not like each other. I don't care. I have no, I don't really care anymore. And I walked away. And as soon as I walked away, I heard the Spirit say, is that really how you feel? Is that really where you're going to stand? Are you just really going to give up now? Is that really the emotion that you want in this? And I had to come back to him and I had to be like, no, I know what I said and that is not the heart of God. And that's not my heart towards the two of you. And I'm here to stand with you and to believe with you and to pray with you and to help you navigate peace and to help you learn to grow in your communication with each other. Because we're all in a process. And then there's been other times in parenting where I've literally like just struggled and not knowing what to do. And I could have reacted on my emotions. How many of you have children that just set you afire and just make you mad? I mean, I have a couple of them. Sometimes, I just need to eat a snack and take a nap and pray a little bit, before I actually respond. You do. You actually have to learn to say, Holy Spirit, I don't want to react out of my flesh, but I want to be moved in teaching them based on the Spirit of the living God. And that actually sometimes takes time to pause and say, okay, I got to take a second and think about this. God, what is your heart towards my children? What is your heart towards a situation? What can you see in the future that I can't see? What do you know that I don't know? Because I don't know everything about them. And I don't know where you're leading them. And I want to cultivate ground, that soil that's teaching them and leading them in the things of God. And we have to be like that. Even Timothy, if you read through 2 Timothy, he's talking to him and he's saying, do not quarrel. He's telling him, flee from youthful passions. But when you tell your children these things in the Bible, and as Timothy was being told by Paul, have you ever stopped in a passage when you're reading it to your children and said, what do you think that means? So this week we were reading that, flee from youthful passions. And I stopped with all of my kids and I said, what do you think that actually means for you? That's intentional. That's parenting saying, I'm taking the word of God. I'm not just reading it and saying, you should know what it means and it's great and it's glorious and all the things, because it is. But actually pulling it apart, training them in godliness, saying, what does this actually mean? And if you don't know, saying, I'm not really sure, but we could look it up. Being okay not knowing everything. How many things you read in the Bible, you're like, I don't know what that means. How many things, as I've read the Bible with my children this year, there's so many times Jubilee goes, I have no idea what that even means. This is so weird. Like that's how they feel, but they don't actually always express it to you. And so we have to give opportunity. We cannot be too busy being on the side, doing our own thing. We have to be in it because we're in it. We're in this huddle. We're in this groove. If Cadence, would you play this video for me? Because I felt like this is something that we were in it together, and it kind of showed something about communication, about being in a huddle, even though they're not in a huddle, they're in the huddle at the end. But the idea of this coach is coaching them on.
Now you get a chance to make the biggest development between now and coming back into the fall. You gotta come in with a swag. You can't just walk around like, I hope we win, I wish we win. You gotta come in thinking, we're gonna win. That's what you gotta be thinking about. Everything you do, everything you say, how you act, how you react, has got to be based on the fact that we will win based on your individual efforts, and then collectively we'll win as a team. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
That's how.
Because he said we're going to go from good to great at the end. It's a collective team. It's a movement together. It's you being on fire for Jesus that sets your children on fire for Jesus. It's you living so engaged with God, not setting that aside to do all the other things, that you're so engaged, you're so listening to the Lord. Even Paul, he said, fight the good fight of faith, little Timothy. Fight the good fight of faith. When is the last time you encouraged the faith of your children, old or young? Are you living by faith? Are you believing God for something? What are you believing God for that I can believe God for? Have you put it out there? Are you intentionally stirring their faith? Are you intentionally going after your children's faith? Saying, come on, we're people of faith. What are we going to believe God for next? Where are we going? What's the next thing we're going to go for? It says there's a call to public reading of Scripture. When's the last time you read the Bible with your children, grown children or older children, out loud? You have to do that or they won't do that. And there's something important and valuable about reading the Scripture, because if they don't know God, how will they ever walk with God? And you can't expect singing a few songs in church and going to little class and learning about Noah and that will be enough. It did not say Sunday school teachers are trained to train your children. It's us to train them. It's a requirement, an effort, intentionality with great purpose. Teaching them how to pray. Have you prayed with your children? Not just at the dinner table for the food, but have you asked them to pray? There are many times that my children and I pray together, and I'm surprised at their hearts towards people. I'm amazed at how God stirs them in their praying. But that them praying didn't come just like, oh, they just all pray out loud all the time. That didn't just happen. It was great intent and purpose on my side of saying, I'm cultivating a ground, a space, a time that we can pray together. Even my kids, this last week, I said, do you know how much time we've spent reading the Word this year? I said, if we didn't read the Bible together, how much time would you have spent reading the Bible? And Jubilee piped up and she's like, none. I was like, and then she realized what she said, and she's like, well, maybe I would have done a little bit. But I'm saying, like, that's the reality. How much time are you investing in training your children in righteousness, in godliness, in faith, in love, in peace? Like, it's a requirement of us to so that they might know the truth. You can't just think they'll know the truth. How about in hearing God? When's the last time you asked one of your children what God is saying? God is speaking to our children. Even for me, I had one of my children wanting to buy something, and it was like a higher dollar thing. And I came into the moment and I said, we talked about it. This child had the money. And I said, did you ask the Lord if you should spend your money on that? And he looked at me like, nope. I said, well, I want you to ask him before we move forward. And time passed, and he came back to me and started asking me about it again. I said, did you ask the Lord about it? And he said, nope. I said, well, I want you to ask the Lord. And I actually want you to understand that God is for you. That just because I'm asking you to ask him to know if you should buy that or not, doesn't mean he'll automatically say no. That you can trust that God's heart is for your good. That you can actually realize that if he says no, that there must be a reason. That he knew if it would break, or if he knew you wouldn't like it, or if he knew you needed that money for something else. But to ask him. And then he walked away, and then he came back later, a different, maybe the next day, I don't know. And he asked me again about it. And I said, did you ask the Lord? He said, no. I said, I really want you to do that. The fourth time he came, and I said, did you ask the Lord? And he said, yeah, I asked the Lord. I said, well, what did he say? He said, go ahead, son. And I was like, yes. Like, I was like, exactly. That's what God's heart is. Like and I said, well, let's go and buy that then. But teaching your children to hear the Lord. on small matters or big matters. How will they go into life and know what the Lord is saying about who they should marry, what job they should take, what car they should buy, what house they should buy, where they should live, if they can't know what he wants in their current space? Asking him, including God, living by the Spirit is such an important thing that we are required to train our children in. Even Jesus, he openly taught his disciples. You can watch his life. You can look through the whole life of Jesus and how he taught them publicly and he trained them privately. He asked them about their faith and what should we do about this situation. He allowed them opportunities to walk on water. He gave them opportunities. How are we going to feed these 5,000? What are we going to do? And as people, we have to do that with our children. We can't just think that they can't hear the Lord. Our children need to be raised to hear the Lord. They need to hear the Lord. They need to know what God is saying to them. If they don't know, the world will influence them, and then they will be drawn away. Read through Timothy. How many times in 2 Timothy and 1 Timothy, Paul says, stay awake. Stay awake. Guard that good gift entrusted to you. Stay awake. Be passionate. Know what God is saying. If we don't actually represent that to this next generation, how will they ever know? On both sides, on the side of sometimes we get it wrong, and on the side that God is always for us, that he's always working on us, that he loves us, making sure that they understand the fullness of what God has gifted them in the Holy Spirit, causing them to have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. In all reality, all you can do is train them. Do you know how many times I could tell somebody not to do something naughty in my house? 1,000 times. Do you know what happens? They do it. And I'm like, I've said that 1,000 times. Oh, I don't have the power to make them not do something. And as a parent, you actually have to understand that you're called to train them and pray for them and stand with them and give them the grace they need. But the Holy Spirit's got the job of empowering them and guiding them and drawing them to Jesus. So you can take that weight off of you that it's not all my responsibility to make these people do all the right things. No, you just participate with the Holy Spirit and you lead the pack. I'm living for Jesus and I'm going to shine that example for my family. And as you live that example and you shine that as in your family, it's unique and individual and personal to you. How I communicate is different than how you would communicate, but it's the same Holy Spirit functioning through us. And so take a role of the Holy Spirit being your co-parent or being that person that creates the disciples of Jesus. You can't do that without him. We can't live in this life without him. Would you stand? I challenge you, if you did not get one of these sheets, or that you would relook at it and see what God has offered you. When you come into moments of parenting and you're tired and you're weary, or it's stressful, or you're not sure, or you feel overwhelmed, you're not alone in that. I think all parents feel like that sometimes. And a lot of times we choose to lean on our spouse and we expect them to do all the extra that we don't have the effort for. And when you don't have that person there, that's when I chose to decide to lean onto the Holy Spirit. But before Romero passed away, I should have chose to lean onto the Holy Spirit. He should have been the first person I went to. Because he's the one that knows it all. And he's so good at it. And he's so good at reaching the heart of our children. Why don't this morning you just spend a moment and just pray over those that you're mentoring or discipling or your children, and just ask God to just do some work in their lives. God, we just come to you on behalf of this next generation, and we ask, God, that you would move in them, that you would train them up into righteousness and holiness and godliness, that you would equip us to be so quick to hear the Spirit in day in and day out. That we would go from good to great. that we would participate with the Holy Spirit in this life in a way that's so unique and so specific for our families, that we would hear you for our families, God, that we would hear you for our lives, that we would know what you're saying, that we would be people that choose to live by the Spirit. God, we thank you. We thank you for your wisdom and impartation into us today, that you would give us exactly what we need. God, we just give you ample space to move in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Why don't you pray over your neighbor as we end this morning? Go in the grace and the love of God.